In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We thank God for this great opportunity that He has prepared for us, the presence of His Grace, Bishop Yusuf, amongst us. His Grace came especially on a 24-hour trip all the way from the south to be with us, to bless us with His knowledge and with His spirituality. His Grace is the Bishop of the Southern States in the USA. His Grace spoke to us, the clergy, today in three very beneficial lectures. And with very little breaks in the middle of the lectures. We pray that God give strength to His Grace, prosperity in His service. His Grace did a special study, took PhD in what he will be teaching us today. So he added to the scientific knowledge, the spirituality of our church, to come up with such great and deep lectures as we shall hear very shortly. The notes, the slides are in Arabic, but His Grace is going to be speaking to us in English. So you can follow the notes in Arabic if you don't know English very well. And if you don't know Arabic, you will be able to understand the lecture in English. Let us all have attentive hearts and minds, so that the words that we shall hear will bring forth spiritual fruits in our lives for the glory of God, to whom is all glory forever. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I give thanks to God, and also to my beloved Father, His Grace, Bishop David, for inviting me to be with you and to enjoy this spiritual day with the clergy and also with the servants here in the Archdiocese. And as I said in the morning, I'm not coming to teach anything new, but to refresh all our memories about some principles we already know and learned in the Holy Scripture. May God open our hearts and our minds in order to receive His holy words. One of the most important issues in our servant, in our service, whether we are priests or servants, or in our families, whether we are fathers or mothers, or in our daily life, whether with my friends or in work, is how to deal with difficult cases. Many times we have difficulty in dealing with what we call difficult cases. So through the grace of God in this lecture, would like to see what the Word of God teaches us about dealing with difficult cases. When you deal with difficult cases, you will experience some feeling. For example, you will feel frustration. You will feel that you are helpless. You feel fear inside your heart. You are scared when you deal with these people. you feel alienation, you feel an anxiety, anger, confusion. So if you deal with one person, and when you deal with this person, you experience many of these feelings together: frustration, helplessness, fear, alienation, anxiety, anger, confusion. Then most probably there are two possibilities here. Either you are dealing with a difficult case, or you yourself is a difficult case. And to differentiate between both is very important. Because if you are the difficult case, and then you can apply the principle of this lecture with others, it will make the situation worse. And how you differentiate to know whether you are the difficult case or the others are the difficult case, you need to listen to the spiritual direction of some spiritual people or your spiritual father in you and in the other person. For example, if you have conflict with your spouse, maybe you need to go and speak with your spiritual father. And if your spiritual father told you, I think you have issues, you are a controlling person, you are abusive, then I am the difficult case, not my spouse. But if there is consensus or agreement that the other person is a difficult case, so the very important question here, how I deal with him in order to win him to Christ, and also not to lose my peace in dealing with him. Difficult cases will result in psychological problems or moral problems or intellectual problems or family problems. So if we are dealing with difficult cases, we will expect to face some of these problems. The first point I'd like to speak here in dealing with difficult cases is hope. Definitely, you should have hope that these cases can change. And a change is possible and reality through the grace of God. If we lost this hope, then you will not be able to deal with such difficult cases. And the hope here is not in the person himself, but the hope in God, who was able to change a person like St. Paul, who was a persecutor for the change of God, and to make him, St. Paul, this great saint, who was persecuted for the church of God. This hope is hope in God, as it is written in the book of Job, "Now I know that you can do all things, and nothing is impossible for you." قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكَ تَسْتَطِيعَ كُلِّ شِيءٍ وَلَا يَعْصُرْ عَلَيْكَ أَمْرٍ. This is the foundation upon which we will build how we deal with difficult cases. If we don't have this hope, then you cannot achieve any progress with the difficult case. فَعَلَشَ كِدَا, just I want to lay this foundation. You need to have hope that the change is possible and reality. You cannot say, there is no hope in my son. There is no hope in this student in my class. There is no hope in dealing with this person. Because, as I told you again, the hope is in God, not in the person himself. Number two, I'd like to understand the difficult cases. Why they are difficult? The real problem with the difficult cases is not the problem itself. For example, if the difficult case is addict, or he lives in sexual immorality, or he's a stubborn, or he is controlling and abusive, the case itself, what makes this case difficult? It is not the problem itself, but because the person refuses to take responsibility of his problem. He does not acknowledge that he has a problem. And he refused to acknowledge and to take responsibility for the problem. Most probably this person has a problem for a long time. But he doesn't change. Why? Because the problem or the difficulty does not cause him any uncomfort or discomfort or any harm. If I am addict, or if I am living in sexual immorality, or if I am stubborn, if I am abusive, if I am controlling, then this behavior should lead to some discomfort, should lead to some harm. But if I don't suffer any harm or discomfort, I'm not going to change. Why? Because somebody else is suffering this harm or discomfort instead of me. Instead of reaping the fruit of what I am sowing, there is somebody else is reaping this for me. So why should I change? Most probably, the family or the friends are the ones who reap and suffer the discomfort and the harm instead of me. And they become responsible for my behavior instead of me. And that what makes me does not acknowledge my problem and also makes me refuse to change. Let me give you some example to understand what I mean by this. A person who is not wise in spending and spends a lot. And the more he spends, there is somebody else, his parents, his friends, give him what he needs. So this bad behavior does not cause him any discomfort. He finds what he needs. Somebody else suffers, maybe his parents, but the person himself does not suffer. So why should he change? Another person who loses his temper a lot and he gets mad very easily. And every time he gets angry and loses his temper, others will comply to him, will do for him what he needs just to calm his anger. So actually the anger is working for him, not against him. He makes people do what he wants to do. So why should he change? Another example, a person who has wrong relationships, but his brothers or his friends, they cover on him and they think by covering on him, they love him. So why should he change? He does not suffer the consequences of his bad behavior. There is a law in the Bible called the law of sowing and harvest. This law, we read it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. That what you sow, you should reap. So if I sow thorns, I should reap thorns. And if I sow roses, I should reap roses. But if I sow thorns and somebody else reaped the thorns instead of me, my hand will not get hurt. Somebody else is hurt. So why should I stop sowing the thorns? In the parable of the prodigal son, in Luke chapter 15, verse 16 and 17, it was mentioned about him that he wanted to fill his belly from the food of the swine, but nobody gave to him. And I want just to make observation supervision here. If his father, because of compassion and love, start to think, my son suffers, he now even, he wants to eat from the foot of swine and nobody gives him. Let me send him some food, because I don't want him to suffer. And I have to show him my love. If he sent him some food, do you think he would return? No. When nobody gave him any food, he returned to himself and decided to return to his father. But if the father intervened and sent to his son food while he was in the far country, because of love or compassion, definitely the prodigal son wouldn't return. And that is a concept what we call tough love. Sometimes we need to exercise the tough love with the difficult cases if we want them to return back to God and to correct their behavior. In other words, my behavior should cause me some discomfort and some pain and some harm in order for me to return to myself and change my behavior. And this is the divine law. What you sow, you should reap. If I intervened because of love and compassion to stop this divine law, I am hurting the person, I'm not helping him. And that's what makes the difficult case continue to be difficult, because they don't reap what they sow. Many people refuse to take responsibility for their behavior, either because lack of experience or lack of knowledge, either because fear of a change, they don't want to change, they don't want to confront themselves, either because pride and ego, I am wise in my own eyes, I don't need anybody to tell me what I should do, either because of envy. What do I mean by envy? Envy, when I think about what I am lacking, not what I have. So I say my behavior, yes, I know I have wrong behavior, but I have this wrong behavior because I am lacking so and so and so and so. So if I'm thinking this way, I'm not gonna change, because I'm expecting to have all these things in order for me to change. So that's what we call envy. Or walking in darkness, this will blind the person completely to be responsible and to acknowledge that he has a problem and took responsibility for the problem in order to solve it. Or because of some mental or psychological diseases, or maybe the person is possessed with the devil, or maybe because of personality disorder. These are some reasons why the person refuses to take responsibility for his own problem. In order to help the difficult case, we need to diagnose the problem. What's his problem? In diagnosing the problem, be specific. Don't be vague. For example, you can say, this is a difficult person to deal with. This is a complex personality. That's very vague. But you need to specify what are the problems that you expect this person to change. For example, you can say he smokes a lot. He doesn't have friends. He has antisocial behavior. He is nervous and gets angry very easy. He is irresponsible. He doesn't do his duties. He is living in sexual immorality and has many wrong relationships. Also, you need to diagnose how many problems he suffers from. Maybe he has more than one problem. Maybe he's alcoholic, he lives in sexual immorality, he smokes, he has attitude or angry person. So try to diagnose how many problems he suffers from. Number three, try to diagnose the severity of the problem. And when I'm speaking about the severity, be realistic. Because many people, they have tendency to magnify any problem and think about it or overreact to any small problem. For them, any small problem is actually a big issue. And I want you to know that to deal with a difficult person, it depends on the severity. There are some problems are very severe and they are beyond your capability to deal with, whether you are a Sunday school servant or even a priest or a parent. And maybe here you need to refer these problems or these people to some professionals in order to deal with them. After that, you need to diagnose what are the reasons underlying the problem, the motives behind the problem. For example, he smokes a lot because he believes that here I am a man, I am now grown up, I'm adult, that's why I smoke cigarettes. Or he is loneliness and he has antisocial behavior because he is selfish. He is angry person because he is controlling person. He wants to impose his opinion on others. And he wants to control everything to go his own way. Maybe he doesn't do his duties because he was spoiled in his childhood. Maybe he has wrong relationships because he was deprived from love in his family. So try to diagnose the reason, the underlying reason behind the problem. And if he has more than one problem, try to trace all these problems to one reason. And when you find this one reason, you will be very close to the reality. For example, angry person who does not have friends and he does not perform his duties and smokes a lot, maybe all these reasons, all these symptoms because he is a selfish person. So the underlying reason here, selfishness. Because he is selfish, that's why he gets angry very easy, loses his temper very easy, he doesn't have friends, and he is irresponsible, he doesn't perform his duties, and he smokes a lot in order to satisfy his desires. So maybe selfishness is one only reason, underlying reason for all these symptoms. And as I told you, when you find this one reason, you will be closer to the reality. Then you need to diagnose to what extent he acknowledges that he has a problem and he is willing to deal with the problem. Because if he is in complete denial, we have to create atmosphere around him to let him reap from his problem, and thus we will help him to change. Like Samson, God created this atmosphere around him. The Spirit of God departed from him. And when the Spirit of God departed from him, he started to reap from his problem, from his sexual immorality. They plucked out his eyes, they made him grind, And this was the first step toward repentance. And here God used with Samson what we call tough love. And here I want to differentiate between acknowledging that I have problem and my ability to solve the problem. Maybe I acknowledge the problem, but I don't know how to solve it. This is different than a person who is in denial and he refuses to acknowledge or to carry the responsibility of the problem. So when a person acknowledges that he has a problem and he confesses that he has a problem and he has a good desire to solve the problem, actually he will not be a difficult case. Just if we help him with some spiritual exercises, he can overcome the problem. But the real problem with those who refuse to take responsibility of their problems. Also, you need to diagnose to what extent he is willing seriously to fight against this problem in order to get rid of it. And when you diagnose all these things that I mentioned, rely on what you see, not what you hear. Because what you hear, especially with the difficult cases, most of the time is not the reality. They will try to deceive you. But trust what you see more than what you hear. And you need to differentiate between I don't want and I cannot. I don't want to change, this is a difficult case. But I cannot, my ability, this is not a difficult case because I know that I have problem, but I am lacking the way, the means. And here with some spiritual exercises and some guidance, we can give them these means to overcome the problems. Also, focus on the process, not the content. What I mean, the process, not the content. For example, in family counseling, if they come to me with a problem about any issue, if I focus on the issue they are bringing to me, that is a content. But most importantly, I should focus on the process, how they communicate with each other, how they discuss with each other, what is the pattern here. For example, who is controlling and who is compliant. So when I focus on the process, I will understand the dynamics. And this is very important in doing the change. It is more important than focusing on the content. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, when the two brothers went to him, asking him to divide the inheritance. This was the content. The Lord Jesus did not pay attention to the content. And he told them, I'm not going to divide because I'm not a judge. I'm not going to divide the content. But what was the process? The process, both of them were greedy and were selfish. And that's why they are fighting over the inheritance. That's why the Lord spoke to them about greediness. In the same way, when you deal with a difficult case, or you try to help him, see how he deals with the situations. That's what we call the process, not on the content of the problem itself. Many of us, we say we tried several things with the difficult cases, but there was no solution. There was no any result. There was no any success with it. So let us understand why all these trials did not succeed. And if we understand why all these trials did not succeed, and we avoid these trials, then there will be hope to try something different which will help the difficult case. The first thing, and as I told you, what makes any person to change if he feels uncomfortable? For example, in this church right now, the weather is comfortable for us, so we are staying relaxed. If the air condition or the heat is disconnected, and then we start to feel uncomfortable, all of us are gonna leave, we're gonna change the place. So the discomfort leads to what? To change. That's why I have to let the difficult case suffer discomfort so that they change. But if I intervene and prevent this feeling of discomfort, I'm not helping him, but actually I am hurting him. And in a way, I'm supporting him to continue to be difficult, not to change. And maybe this is the beam that the Lord told us to remove from our eyes before we help our brother removing the speck from his eyes. The Lord said, before you remove the speck from your brother's eye, remove the beam from your eye. Which beam here? The beam is when you intervene to stop the divine law of sowing and reaping. We need to get rid of this beam first, so that I can help my brother to remove the speck from his own eye. Number two, don't do more of the same. If you tried a certain way several times and you did not find any success or any result with this way, don't repeat it more and more and more and more. Doing more of the same will give you the same result. For example, when you use reason with unreasonable. Your son is unreasonable. And you ask him to sit with you and you start giving him a lecture and try to speak to him with logic. But he is wearing his Walkman and he's not listening to you. And you intend to give him every day the same lecture. And he doesn't listen to you, so you ask the other Sunday school servant to give him the same lecture. Then you ask the Abuna, and you ask Sayyid, you know. And you are using more of the same. You are using the same thing over and over. If it didn't work, then you need to try something else. Another thing that does not bring fruit or success, when we separate love from control. To keep the balance between love and control is very essential for healthy growth and also for dealing with the difficult case. The Bible teaches us that the Lord disciplines whom He loves. So here the Lord is keeping balance between discipline, control, and love. And if this balance does not exist, then it will be very hard to change the difficult person. Sometimes we separate love from control by having different roles. For example, the father will exercise the control and the mother will exercise the love. Definitely this doesn't work. The father should be loving and also authoritarian in the same time, or authoritative at the same time. And the mother also should be loving and authoritative. But if we divide the roles, so the father will be the authority figure in the house, and the mother is the loving figure in the house, it doesn't work this way. Because the children will become closer to their mother and they will come separated from their father, and this will not be very helpful. And the effect of the authority of the father will antagonize the effect of the love of the mother. So both effects will cancel each other. Another unsuccessful method is nagging. Many parents or spouses or Sunday school servant believe that if we nag on a certain thing, we will get a response. Actually, if nagging and reminding him to do it differently will help the problem, then there's no problem at all. But when you nag a lot, what you're gonna create? He will be more stubborn and more rebellious. Usually, we cannot nag with the defensive people. Because when you start nagging, they will scream at you and ask you to stop, so even you cannot nag with them. And we cannot nag also with the avoidant, because once you start to nag or to remind them, they will avoid you completely. Let me give you an example about nagging and how nagging is not an effective way to change the difficult person. A person reminds his wife every month to pay her bills. And this continued for 2 years. And he is frustrated why she doesn't pay her bills on her own. And when we requested from him not to nag and not to remind her, and she started to pay late fees, she learned her lesson. Because here he led her to reap what she was sowing. So nagging actually may make the situation worse. Why? Because the other person will perceive you as a controlling person. So this will result in rebellion. He will rebel against you. Another unsuccessful method to deal with the difficult cases is threatening without follow-up. Definitely, there is difference between threatening and warning. Threatening is when you say something unreasonable, and actually it is expression for my failure to deal with this difficult case. And many times it will be unreasonable, illogic, I'm not gonna do it, and this makes the other person will never take me serious. But warning is to explain the consequences of the behavior. You're gonna tell him, if you do so and so and so, the consequence of this is so and so and so and so. So it is explaining, not threatening. And when he breaks the rule that you set, you should allow him to suffer the consequences. But if you don't follow up with this and you did not allow him to suffer the consequence, then he will not take you seriously after this. God said to Adam, if you eat from this tree, you shall surely die. And when Adam ate from the tree, Adam actually was separated from God and he experienced this death. Another way sometimes we deal with the difficult cases by avoidance and denial. So we try to normalize the situation. We say, all the children here in America are difficult. So let me accept the situation as is. I know he is difficult, but he has many, many good things. There is no one perfect. So just this way of thinking, I want to sedate my conscience and accept the situation as it is normal. Actually, I'm not dealing with a difficult case. Actually, here I'm accepting the sin and the wrong situation as normal. And unfortunately, sometimes many secular counseling use this way to solve the problem, to let you accept what's wrong. For example, accept homosexuality. Let's accept this and acknowledge this and approve same-sex marriage. Definitely, this is not the right way to deal with it. Opposite to avoidance and denial, when you overreact. So maybe there is a small problem, but you are overreacting to this problem, becoming overprotective. The overreaction also has its danger effect on my children. That's why I need to keep balance. I shouldn't exaggerate and I shouldn't minimize or underestimate. And in order to make sure that I'm not exaggerating, at the same time I'm not underestimating, maybe I need to consult some spiritual people or expert in this field that can help me to see things realistically. Another unsuccessful method to deal with difficult cases is what we call the only trial. We try something for one time only. And after we tried and it didn't work, so we lose hope and we consider it is a hopeless case. Like father takes his son to Abuna, and after Abuna discuss with the son all the situation, give him some spiritual exercise. When they return home, the son maybe follow the instruction of Abuna for 1 week, 10 days, and after this he will go back to his first behavior. And here we say it's hopeless case. Even I take him to Abuna and nothing happened, so there is no hope in my son. We should understand that for any change, it needs time and needs support. Change means I'm going to leave my comfort zone and enter a new zone. And this new zone is uncomfortable for me. So I have to support the person doing the change until he creates the new zone, and this will become a new comfort zone for him. So the change will be a second nature to him. When we don't give time and we don't give the required support, what happens? There is tendency to go back to the former behavior. Another unsuccessful method, when we use spirituality in a wrong way, when we use a spiritual principle to defend some negative behavior. Let me tell you what do I mean by this. There are three common ways you use spirituality in a negative way. Preaching, negativity, and pride. Preaching is to continue preaching the other and giving him lectures day after day, although he makes it very clear that he is not willing to listen to the word of God anymore. But in spite of this, I give him lectures every day, hoping that in one day my preaching will get result or make him a change. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to a city in Samaria, and they did not receive him, he left them. He did not impose his preaching on them. So if the person refused to listen to the word of God, I shouldn't impose this on him. Maybe I should live the word of God with him instead of preaching. Maybe I should preach him by setting an example before him, not through just giving him lectures. Many youth, they scream their parents, don't lecture me, don't give me these lectures anymore. I don't need to preach me. And in spite of this, the parents sometimes insist on preaching their children more and more. Negativity, I mean by it when I decide not to do anything with the difficult case, and I say, now the only thing that I can do is prayer, and that's it. I want to tell you, for anything to be successful, there is a divine part and a human part. God will never do for you the human part. And what is the human part? The human part is what is in your control, what's in your hand, what you can do. And the divine part is what you cannot do. So God will do for you what you cannot do, but He will never do for you what you can do. So, if I say all what I'm going to do is just to pray, here I'm asking God to do His part. But what about my part? There is part I should do in dealing with this difficult case. So, just saying all what I'm going to do is just to pray, that's negativity. I need not to forget my role in helping the other. The third thing, pride. When I feel that I cannot deal with such cases, they are so sinner, so wicked, so away from God, so I'm not going to deal with these people. And I'm going to comfort myself with this verse in Ibn al-Halak lil-Halak yud'a. So this person is son of perishing, so I'm not going to deal with him. Giving up on the person, not having hope. That's why I start, the first thing I said, the foundation is to have hope that the change is reality and is possible. لكن أحيانا بروحانية خاطئة أقول خلاص أنا, there is no hope in this person, this is son of hell, خلاص ده ابن كهنة ابن الشيطان, خلاص let him يعني إيه. Another unsuccessful method in dealing with the difficult cases, when I do his part, become responsible instead of the difficult person, or take the blame for them. Definitely, it is good to search yourself to see whether you contributed to his difficulty or not, or his problems or not. But to be responsible for their mistakes and trying to do their parts instead of them, definitely this will not help them. يعني واحد مثلا, because of his irresponsibility, he has many traffic tickets. For his parents pay this for him. طبعا هنا انت, you are doing his part. He will never learn from his mistakes. Another unsuccessful method is to wait for permission. You are waiting for the difficult case, whether it's your son or not, to give you permission to intervene, to help him. And sometimes we think that being kind or being meek means just to wait for a permission to intervene. And what's going to happen here? In the time will become longer and his situation become worse. That's why you shouldn't wait for permission. You should do and intervene as the Holy Spirit guides you in the right time, in the proper time, in the proper way. Many of us, also another unsuccessful way to deal with difficult cases, is to be reactive and not proactive. Being reactive means what? I wait for action in order to respond. Being proactive, I have a vision and I foresee what's going to happen and prepare myself for it, and maybe I start to do some actions before what will happen. Many people, they don't take actions with the difficult cases, but they are just satisfied of being reactive to their actions. طبعاً بالطريقة دي الإنسان when you react to their actions, وطبعاً their actions تبقى very very wrong. Many times our reaction بيبقى full of anger and full of wrong emotions, علشان كده it doesn't bring the right fruit. أحياناً ناس يجوا ويقولوا أنا I tried everything and nothing worked. Actually, you cannot say that I tried everything. But when we say I tried everything, this means what? This means either he tried many and six successful ways that we mentioned, or he tried some successful ways, but not for enough time, and we did not wait or give chance for the change to happen and for the person to create the new comfort zone. Or we tried some good methods, but there was no support system. And let me tell you, any change needs, as I told you, time and support system. You cannot do change without support, because change, going from your comfort zone to a new zone in which you are not comfortable. So you need to have support here. And when I'm speaking about the support system, I'm speaking about two types of support. Number one, invisible support. Invisible support comes from the Holy Spirit, comes from my relationship with God, comes from the cloud of saints that intercede on my behalf. And visible support comes from the fellowship of the church. My brothers and sisters in the church, they support me through their encouragements, their prayers. St. Paul asked the people in Corinth to support the sinner that he excommunicated by encouraging them to love him. Because through this change and this repentance must be supported by their love and their prayers. أو ممكن يجي يقول لك أن I tried many everything and nothing worked. ممكن يكون أن هو just he is looking for quick results. أو ممكن يكون ده is expression of despair and hopelessness. أنا كده واحد يقول لك أنا جربت كل حاجة مفيش حاجة نافعة. They actually is trying to tell you I have no hope that this person can change. علشان كده if you are dealing with a difficult case you need to reflect on what you are trying to do. Reflect on all the methods, the ways that you tried to do to help your son or your daughter or your student or your spouse in order to evaluate your service in the right way. After that, you need to develop a vision and a plan how to deal with the difficult person. When you deal with a difficult case, you need to have a vision. To set a goal, that is what I want to achieve. And after setting the goal, you need to develop the means that will help you to reach this goal. When we speak about the goal, the goal is not shouldn't be just stopping what's bad, but replacing what's bad with what is good. يعني مثلا if I'm dealing with angry person, my goal shouldn't be how to stop his anger, but my goal should be how to make this person compassionate and kind, how to replace what's bad with what's positive. Again, the goal shouldn't be fixing the problem or making the change in the person, but also reconciling him with others, maybe with his family, with his church, because this reconciliation will help as a support system in his change. يعني لما St. Paul excommunicated the sinner of Corinth, he repented. He was not satisfied by his repentance, but he worked on his reconciliation with the church by asking them to show him the Christian love and to accept him. So our goal here is how to be perfect and to reach the fullness of the stature of Christ, as St. Paul said. Also, when we set a goal, the goal is should be the inner change, not the outside change. يعني مثلا ما بقاش واحد بيشرب سجاير and my goal إن هو how to teach him how to stop smoking. This is outside. But the inside change, إن أنا أشوف what is the reason of this bad habit and change him from inside, not just change him from outside. And number five, in setting a goal, I should look for a permanent change, not for a temporary change. Permanent change, not temporary change. So, in conclusion, I want to say something here. In order to be able to deal with difficult cases, you yourself should have spiritual maturity, so that you can have good influence on others. For this spiritual to be spiritually mature, there are 7 points here. Number one, your relationship with God. Number two, your relationship with others. Number two, the style of your life. Number three. Number four, your words. Number five, your behavior. Number six, your principle. And number seven, the way that you deal with each case of these difficult cases. Because the way we deal with each case may be different. There is no one style you will use it with all different cases. And how to develop this spiritually mature personality is very, very important in order to be effective in dealing with difficult cases. في محاضرة تانية على السبع نقط دولت بالتفصيل إن أنا how to develop my personality in a way helps me to deal effectively with the difficult cases. So these points are very essential for spiritual and psychological support in order to deal with difficult cases.